blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless, before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace, with reverence. Sound his glories forth, and bow before his face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 51.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 40. Psalm 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, the Creator of this whole universe, and also the provider for the same, how can we reckon up in order unto thee the wonderful works which thou hast done toward us and our children? Their number is so multiplied that we cannot count them. For we are the objects of thy goodness. With all the creatures that thou dost still preserve over the length and breadth of this whole world, and we do experience that goodness, each one of us, each and every day, under the many blessings poured out upon us, which are multiplied so greatly, and that we cannot count them, and that we cannot see them, and therefore we take them all for granted, then it is not only as the objects of thy goodness, but also as the objects of thy long suffering. For it is against thee thy servant did say, the only that I have sinned. And when thou dost continually bless, though that we turn our backs unto thee, then thy great long suffering becomes more and more evident, so that debt that we do bring upon ourselves does also increase daily. Wilt thou give us understanding hearts, that we may receive eyes to behold it all, and hearts to mourn for our own iniquity, that we may learn to mourn, that we may learn to weep, that we may learn to turn again unto thee, our great benefactor. And then it is not only as the objects of thy goodness and thy long-suffering, but thou dost give unto us also trials and afflictions, so that the labors of thy hands upon us does increase in the way of thy callings one after the other. In a world, in a season, wherein disease does run rampant through this world and through this country, through this province, and thou knowest all the reaction of mankind, then we will conquer it with our own strength. Oh, that thou may give us to see and to feel, and that it is not in our own hands, that all that we may do, that it is all waiting for thy blessing. Oh, that thou may bless then the means that are used, that are lawful in thy most holy sight, and that thou mayest look upon us in thy mercy, and deal not with us as a nation and as a people, as we so justly deserve, and that thou mayest give unto us also that which we so stand in need of, not only for the things of this time and of this life, and that we may be objects of thy goodness and of thy long-suffering, but that we may be also objects of thy mercy and of thy grace. Then it is only to an undeserving people that thou dost look when they are polluted in their own blood, and when they are cast out in the open field. And then, O Lord, then it begins with thee, with the thoughts from heaven, with love from heaven, and with a desire from heaven. For thou art the Alpha, and thou art the beginning. Thou dost love, thou dost call, and thou dost bring with thy Holy Spirit into that true living church. And thou dost make them a militant people. And thou knowest where that they are also in our midst. And then there are so often so many fears, fears that it has never been thy work, fears that it will never be brought to fruition, fears that it has begun with man and that it shall end with man. Oh, that thou mayest also look upon those whom thou hast shown mercy unto, and that thou mayest look them up in this hour, and that thou mayest feed them with food convenient for them, as thou dost say that the meek shall eat and shall be satisfied. And wilt thou show unto them that it was thy work, and wilt thou show unto them that it can only be thy work to uphold it and to continue it and to finish it. For thou art not only the Alpha, but thou art also the Omega. Thou art not only the beginning, but thou art also the ending. And then for that church, it is all cared for from above by that great hand of the King of the church, directing everything to the welfare of his people, directing everything to the welfare, to the glory, to the honor of his own holy, great, and worthy name, to bring that church through every trial and temptation, tribulation in the wilderness of this life, and to bring them to one day magnify and to glorify thee, and to say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Give strength to come through the trials and tribulations of this life. Oh, increase the number of that church militant here below. Oh, that thou mayest so look upon us, O Lord, as a unworthy people, and that thou mayest deal with us according to thy grace, according to thy good pleasure, and that thou mayest magnify thyself in unworthy creatures, that thou may remember all the sick and all the afflicted. For it is Thanksgiving Day, and there are also those that are mourning in these days. O Lord, care for them, that they may be strengthened and upheld by thy hand, and that thou wouldst be near and dear unto them, in all their loneliness, in all their trouble, and in all their care, that we also might learn to bear the burdens of one another and truly fulfill the law of Christ, that thou may look upon those that are not able to gather with us, that are in their own homes in this day. Wilt thou grant them also a blessing there with their children, and that thou would give there also what is necessary to the young ones to sit and to listen for a little while, and that thou mayest yet look upon us to lift these restrictions once again, and that we may once more gather together as a whole congregation. Lord, look upon us in this afternoon. Help us to bring forth this little portion of thy word of truth. Be among us in mercy as one that serveth undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 109, stanzas 1 through 4. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, and thou givest unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 109.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, it is Thanksgiving Day. Is not gratitude a beautiful thing when it lives in our heart and when it brings forth in the midst of this world its precious fruits? If we, as we so often do, are looking continually at the things which we could have, then our hearts are filled with covetousness and also often with a sinful worldly anxiety. But when they may have a view of all of the things which we do have, then our hearts may be filled with gratitude and rest and thankfulness. Those are views that we ought to propagate within ourselves and within one another, that our life may be lived to a right end, to a right purpose. Gratitude is a heavenly work. That is what is filling those that may live there. Thanksgiving. And that is the work of the church triumphant. That is a work that includes more than a gratitude just for the temporal blessings that we receive here below. But it is a work that is including also and in a special way the spiritual blessings that the Lord is giving unto His people. And thus the question, are we now recipients of those spiritual blessings in our life, in the season that lies behind us? Because the Lord has given us so many temporal blessings. But when that is all we receive, then we will perish with those blessings. You say, how may I know it? Well, they do not begin in heaven. No, they begin here already upon the earth. And so we may examine ourselves also whether we have knowledge of these blessings. And we wish with the Lord's help to do so this afternoon from the words of our text, which you can find once again in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and thereof the 25th verse. Romans 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So far the words of our text. Sounds of gratitude from the militant church. First, the cause of these sounds of gratitude. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The cause of these sounds of gratitude. Second, the continuance of the warfare under these sounds of gratitude. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thus, the continuance of the warfare under those sounds of gratitude. Sounds of gratitude from the militant church. First, the cause of these sounds of gratitude, and second, the continuance of the warfare under these sounds of gratitude. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. So we left congregation, our warrior. So we left our warrior in that militant church of God with all the desires that live in his soul, the desires that go out after the true and after the living God, with all the desires that live in his heart, that go out after the way of holiness, to walk in the way of righteousness before a holy and a righteous God. When he is experiencing his own impossibility, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do, he has found, we have heard, a law within his members, that when he would do good, that is that new man, when he would do good, that evil is present with him. That is not an exception. That is not just now and then. No, that is the law. That is the way it is always going. The law that is living within his members, what he cannot change. Oh, wretched man and that I am. There is no more wretched man than I am in this world. There is no man that is more hard-hearted, and there is no man that is in greater poverty as a man that is not able to reach that which he was created to reach, as a man who was created to glorify and to magnify the Lord, and who is not able to do so. How can such a man be acceptable in the sight of God? And such a man who cannot keep a single precept of that holy law of God in truth and in uprightness, who shall deliver me? We heard it. That man has begun to turn. He has begun to turn away, we saw, from himself. All that hope, all the expectation that was in the heart of that young soldier as he began in his mission, it's all gone, as it was when he had begun. Oh, everything has turned out so different. It is so different than he had ever expected that it would turn out to be. He has been deceived. Deceived by sin. Sin that is in his members. And he thought that he could conquer, but he did not know how many that there were, and he did not know how strong that they were. Who shall deliver me? Turns away. He knows from what he turns away, because that is a place he has been now, and that is a place where there is no more expectation. He is finished with that now. But now where shall he go? Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? And now we said that it is not going to take very long anymore, because this is now the place that the Lord is going to do something. I said to the consistory yesterday, I am glad that tomorrow is Monday and that I don't have to wait a whole week. Because actually that is the way the Lord does it. The Lord, he is not waiting much anymore. No, the Lord doesn't bring a man in such a place of self-despair and then leave him there. He does not bring him there for his own sake. He brings him there for that people's sake, because it is necessary for the people. And therefore, when the Lord truly brings that people to an end of all of themselves and their own strength and their own wisdom, all their wit, all their ingenuity, all of their own righteousness. Oh, no. No, then he is not waiting anymore. That is a special place. That is a place where a man has learned how deep that he has fallen. That he has fallen dead. Dead in sins and in trespasses. A special place. But that is not just a place where a person has come with a knowledge of some doctrine, like we teach it in catechism, confession class, Heidelberg Catechism. No, it is more than doctrine here. It is a living reality. Because what does it mean? That he is not able now to reach what his heart has desired to reach. The Lord has put it there. The Lord has given that desire in his heart to reach that blessed perfection of his holy law. It is from the Lord. Oh, and what does it mean now that he is not able to reach that perfection? That means without God. Without God and without hope in this world. Oh, and that is the grief and the burden of that people. That was the desire that was born now in that young life. When the Lord has just begun that life. And when they have begun to cry out, life, life, eternal life. And when their heart and soul began to hunger and thirst after God. Bunyan's pilgrim. He is at a stand now. There he is standing at that Mount Sinai. And he is trembling before that mountain. And that mountain that he says, I am afraid that it is going to fall upon my head. And he does not know now what to do. And he does not know now where to go. And then suddenly, he sees someone. Who is that? That is evangelist. That is the minister. Then he is going to bring him a word. Not his own word. No, he is sent to bring him the word of God. And he asks him a question. He says to him, what dost thou here, Christian? What dost thou here at Mount Sinai? At which we read, Bunyan says, that poor man wist not what to answer him. And therefore he stood there, speechless. No, they do not know why they are there. They do not understand. They had a heart that desired righteousness. They have a heart that desires love for the Lord. Do you know why are they there at Mount Sinai? Because congregation, there is only one way that we know. One way, and that is a broken covenant. When there is no other way revealed to that people, then they are yet standing and they do not know what to do. When they are running so stuck there and with that only way that they know, and then when the Lord is coming to say, my child, what are you doing here? Then they are speechless. And they do not know what to say, what to answer. Art not thou the man which I found crying without the walls of the city of destruction? Yes, dear sir, I am. Did I not direct thee to the way of the little wicket gate? You know, young people, we have our Bible. We have our Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. That means the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord has given them to speak word for word. What He will have them to be written. Was Bunyan one of those men? No, he was not. But you know what we see? We see that the Lord has a purpose sometimes of persecution. Is that coming also for us? We don't know. It doesn't look good. But the Lord has a purpose sometimes. And He has shut that man up in that prison. And He has given him to deal with his own spirit. And then we can read how that the Lord has given that man light. Light into that holy word of God. How that He has given him light into the experience. The way that the Lord is dealing with His own people. Did I not direct thee to the way of the little wicket gate? What is he doing here? Then he is reminding him of something that he has heard before. He said, I directed thee already to that gate. Parents, fill the minds of your children with the Word of God. Fill them, your own minds, the minds of your children. Why? What is Bunyan saying here? He says, how is the Lord working? The Lord is using sometimes the things that He has already said. Not new things, old things. Things that you have heard already. Sometimes, children, then it is a word which you have heard in your youth. And then for you, it is that there is no room for this in your heart at the moment. But when you will fill your minds with that word of God, all Bunyan is now speaking here of how the Lord is bringing those things back again into the mind of a man, then it is not always, and that they are sitting in the house of God. No, sometimes they are riding in their tractor on the field. Sometimes they are at their labor. Sometimes they are in their kitchen. And then their heart is meditating on all these things. And all of the turmoil of that life is being lived out in its reality day by day. And then suddenly, then the Lord is bringing back into the mind and in the heart of that people something that He has spoken, something that they have heard in the days of their youth that is now so fitting to their present circumstances. Did I not direct thee to the way of the little wicket gate? Christian hears this now. But he is in different circumstances. He is now in a very great distress. It is now with him. And that he says, Who shall deliver me? Indeed, thou didst say it unto me. But at that time I had no ears. At that time I had no heart. At that time, there was no place to receive it. The Lord, He is making room for this word. And now that Spirit of the Lord, He has brought him to this place. And He has caused him to turn away from that broken covenant. He has no use for this anymore. And now, Now when he does not know the way, now the Lord is coming. Now the Lord is bringing that word back again. And now the Lord is going to direct him himself. The little wicked gate. What is the little wicked gate? That is Bunyan's description. But what does it say in the Word of God? Christ, he says, I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. The little wicked gate. And so the Lord is opening the word. The Lord is giving light from heaven. Upon what? Upon the door. Upon the entrance. Upon the way of salvation. For the first time in the life of their people. Light. Light. Light in what? First of all, light in their darkness. When they turn away but do not know what way to go, then he is giving light to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thus it is light in their darkness. But it's not only in the darkness, not only in the darkness of the mind, of the intellect, but it's also in their need, in the very deep need. It is in their great predicament. It is in their great distress. It is in their great impossibility. When they do not know the way of righteousness that the Lord is declaring unto their people, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. Grace. What is grace? Oh, the Lord is beginning to shed light. How is that for that people? Is that as a thunder from heaven? Is that something that is learned in the way of great commotion outwardly in this world? No. Oh, then the Lord, he is so gentle. And it is taking place in the spirit. It is taking place in the soul of this people, that the Lord is opening their eyes, the blind eyes of this people. What do they see? Oh, they see something new. They see a new and a living way. Thus the Lord is revealing. What does it mean to reveal, children? What does it mean to reveal? Well, if something is covered, completely covered over with a cloth, you cannot see it. And then you take the cloth off, and then you may see. Oh, that revelation, say the word of God, that is a revelation from heaven, that is right. That is the revelation of the word and the will of God. We're not talking about that now. No, we talk about a revelation, and we mean by a revelation a subjective thing. Then it is not something which takes place with great excitement, no. Then it is simply meaning that the Lord is giving the soul to see when it could not see. So that the blind eyes of that soul are going open for something that they so stand in need of. Oh, then he is revealing his Son in that people. And what do they see? Oh, they see a way. It is not behind them. It is before them. That is where they need to go. They need to go forward. They need to come out of that pit. It has become for them impossible. They do not know how to come out of that pit. And now they see a possibility. That is what they see. A possibility in their impossibility. And what does the apostle say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, his eyes were so blind. And now his eyes go open. And actually he cannot believe that he has never seen it before. Because indeed it was told him before. And that name was preached to him since the day of his birth. And he has commemorated Christmas so many times in his life. And yet, no eyes to see him. And now, it goes open. What was hidden, was hidden. And now, what is revealed, is revealed. Then he may see it, and then his heart may also believe it. And so that laboring soul, in that moment, he is bidden to draw near unto that wicked gate. I am the door. How does that happen now? That he is bidden in his soul to draw near unto that gate. And we speak about something that is spiritual. We speak about something that is taking place in the heart of this person. And then there are things that are happening there. How shall we describe that, people of the Lord? Then you are not ignorant of what that is. How shall we describe what is taking place in that moment, so quickly, then this opening of the gospel that is so very, very personal in the life of a man, then everything that he sees, then there is a drawing of his soul. His soul begins to go out. How does that happen? Well, he always thought it was for everyone else. That is now for the people of the Lord. It is not for me. Oh, those blessed people. Could I only be one of them? Remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. But I am on the outside of it. And now what does the Lord do? Now the Lord includes them. The Lord includes them. How does that happen? That the Lord includes them. It is not congregation, amen. I cannot include you. I cannot include myself. Would you want it from me? We can try to do that. We can try to pat a man on the back. We can try to say, oh man, you are, I am sure, you are one of the true people of the Lord. We'll do you no good. No, where do you need to hear that from? Oh, you need to be convinced. You need to be convinced out of that Word of God. The Word of God is quick. That Word of God is powerful. And that Word of God is His Word. And if you may receive it as His Word, then you will believe it. Then faith will be brought into exercise. So how does that go then? Just how is it that the Lord, He is convincing such a person? Well, we have heard where the Lord is bringing that person. And you know what the Lord is doing now. That man who is excluded. He is excluded. And how is now the Lord including him? The Lord is showing him his name written in the Bible. Did you ever see your name written in the Bible? You say, maybe my name is David, that is written in the Bible, or my name is Jacob or Levi, that is written in the Bible. No, I don't mean that, children. What do I mean? Do you know what word is written in the Bible? That word is sinner. Sinner. How many times have you read that word in the Bible? Many, many times. Was it ever you? Was it ever you? That is what we have now spoken about. What is the Lord busy doing? He is making a man a sinner before God. So necessary. So necessary. Otherwise, you will not see your name there. And you will not say, it is me. But when the Lord brings a man here, as a lost, as a guilty, as a wretched sinner, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he is reading the Bible. Then he is hearing that preaching of the Bible. Sinner. And now he says, that is me. That is me. Now a wonderful thing. Because that word, sinner, that is written many times in the Bible, the same line as the name of Jesus Christ. Did you ever see that? That name, sinner, written on that same line as Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when I have finally become a sinner, and when I finally need to be delivered, when there is no more strength left of my own, and when I am lying on the bottom of that pit, then to see, on that same line as that name of Jesus, my name written. Oh, you know what the Lord does in that moment? Then he shows you something. Then he shows how suitable those two are for one another. A sinner and a Savior. Oh, he shows how those two persons, they belong together. They were made for each other. They're exactly fit for one another. That is the insight that the Lord is giving unto that people in that moment. Oh, then they see, oh, how that is, that that way is made open for such a wretched creature as I am. Oh, wonder of wonders, that there is such a thing as grace, that there is such a thing as free and sovereign grace, without money, without price, for such a wretched creature, oh, wretched man that I am. What is happening in those moments when the soul may be given to see that perfect suitability between that Savior and my soul, how that the Lord, He has made him, prepared him just for such a people. What is happening then in my soul? Oh, then in my soul, there is an invitation. There is an invitation that my soul feels something. Then there is a drawing. And not only is there an invitation, but there is a coming. There is a coming by faith. Then it is not because my feet can run. Bunyan describes it. He says, goodwill gave him a bull. That is what happens. Is it not right, children of the Lord? That is what happens, faith. Then it is never a people who say, then I did something. Yes, I believed, but he gave me a pull. It was all in that moment that I may believe, because those two names, they were written together on that sacred page, the page of God's holy writ. Oh, the soul is invited, and the soul does actually come. The soul draws near unto that blessed footstool. What does it say then? What does it believe? What does the soul believe? Many that will say then he now believes that he is one of God's children. Is that right? That is not right. That is not right. That is an altogether different thing. It is an altogether different proposition to be believed. What does he believe? Or in that moment he believes that Christ will do as he hath promised. That is what he believes. He sees that written in the Word of God, that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, then he believes. He sees, he feels, he mourns his lost state, his condition. But in that moment, he believes that Christ, he will, he does, he has come to save just those that are as I am. Oh, then that people are included. Included in what? You say the children of God, they are included in the church. No. From the Lord's side, yes. But from their side, no. What are they included in? They are included in the possibility. The possibility to be saved. What had it become for them? It had become an impossibility, and now it becomes a possibility. Where are they? They are not lifted out of that pit yet. No. No, they are still in the bottom of that pit. But now they see, when there was for them no way, that there is a way, that He has made a way. That the way is not in my own merit. The way is not in my own strength. But that way is in Christ Jesus. Oh, then he has turned away from all that is vain. And he begins to cry to him who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. No, he has him not yet. You say, is he delivered? In a sense. In a sense. Why? Because what is now the worst part of being down in that pit, that is the despair, right? That is the despair. And what has the Lord delivered him from? Oh, he says now he has hope. Hope. A new hope. And thus in that pit, he begins to cry. He begins to cry for whom? Not my own strength. It is not vows. It is not promises. But he begins to cry to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. He has seen it. He is the way, and he has begun to love him. It is not only in his mind, but his affections, they are affected. He begins to love him. He begins to desire that he may receive the glory of the salvation also of his own soul. Oh, what is Paul saying? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, then there is a strong emotion of gratitude in that heart. Oh, that is all happening. All happening in one moment. What is Paul? We read it about Paul himself. We read, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he was baptized. Let us sing 427, 4 and 7. In truth, the Lord has surely chastened, but not to death delivered me. In his paternal love he hastened to mitigate my misery. Now open at my salutation the gates of truth and righteousness, and I will enter with elation there to proclaim my thankfulness. 4 and 7 of 427. Sounds of gratitude from the militant church. First, the cause of these sounds of gratitude. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not thank anyone for our own merits, only ourselves. But what does the Lord reveal from heaven? A gift, a free gift. And that not for a righteous man, but for ungodly and for sinners. What do you think that does in the heart of such a man? Then immediately it is going to raise in his heart feelings of gratitude, because gifts and gratitude go together. This gratitude is only going to increase in their life. Why? Because that warfare continues. We said the continuance of the warfare under the sounds of gratitude. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What has changed? What has changed? Nothing. Nothing. That is what he had said before too. He said, I continue to lose the battle. I continue to fight in that battle. But that law of sin continues to be in my members. And I continue to be brought into captivity. But there is something that is different, very different. And what is that? Oh, he says, it does not depend upon me. It does not depend upon me. And that is now what is different. He says the victory in that warfare has already been won by him who is righteous. Who is perfectly righteous, who could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, there is only one thing I need, and that is to be united to that man. Oh, there is only one thing I need, and that he would be my Lord, and that I would be his child. There is only one thing I need, that his righteousness may be made my own righteousness. Thus they continue to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. And now we can finish that sermon, I think. Because it really was only half done, right? Because now it is not their own righteousness anymore. Oh, they begin to hunger and to thirst after him. His righteousness, oh blessed people, who begin to hunger and to thirst after that righteousness of Christ. You know what they have entered on? They have entered into the way of faith, of salvation by faith in that blessed deliverer of all of his people. They have entered through the wicked gate. Our fathers would say to their people, welcome in the strife. Oh, they now know what faith is. Oh, in that moment that he was revealed, then they may look back and they may say, I may believe. They will not forget that moment, the sweetest moment they have ever experienced in their life. It was the 10th hour. In my affliction, this I found, that human help deceived, but ever faithful was the Lord, in whom my soul believed. Did they have no faith before? That is a good question. Did they have no faith before? When does faith begin? true saving faith. Regeneration. Are we talking about regeneration now? No. Spoken about that long ago already. Thus they had faith before. So what is this that we say? They have entered into the way of faith. Well, in that regeneration, then the object of faith, object, what is that? Well, we can have faith, then we believe, and we believe something or someone. That is the object. What is the object of faith in that newborn soul? That is God. We did not leave Christ in paradise. In our fall, we left God, triune God. And now in that regeneration, then faith goes out unto God. It does not make a distinction between the persons of the Trinity and what is now happening here. What is happening is that the soul is receiving a new object of faith. A new object of faith, and that is Christ. That was not before. Oh, it was him as he was included in the Trinity, yes. But now it is in him as the mediator, as the Savior of sinners. That is now the new object of faith. Begins to believe in him. Begins to love him. Begins to seek him. And you know what he says? Those that seek me shall find me. And that is true. It is necessary, congregation, to come to this object of faith in our life. The Lord will bring his people there. To come to this object of faith that they might see, they might believe, they might love, they may depend, and that faith may go out unto him, because this is now the saving faith that is the experience of that true church. You say, was not that faith in God and in his word saving? Oh, sure. But it was not saving in their experience. Oh, then for them it was only condemning more and more. But now when he may be revealed in all their wretchedness, now they receive a new object of faith. And so what now happens? Unto that battle. Well, they get a new battle. They get a new battle. Do you know what that is? That is to get the exercise of their faith back. You may ask them, but we won't talk about that now. But what happens now to that warfare that we have been speaking about? That they are the church militant. Is that all finished now? That they have no more of this warfare? Oh, it is not finished now. What does the apostle say? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. God does not make his people careless and profane. That is antinomianism. Nomian, the law. Anti, against. It is against law. Antinomianism. Let us do sin that good may come. The law is done. One purpose of the law, discovery of sin. Then we have no, now it is a new law, the law of faith. No. No. That is against the law. Where is the law explained in our catechism? It is explained in the part of gratitude. From step to step. Oh, that warfare. That warfare continues just the same as it was before. Just the same? Well, not just the same. Outwardly it is the same. Then it is striving for that perfection of obedience, that holiness, that righteousness. Inwardly it is different. Why? Because the motive, the reason has now changed. It is no longer a legal, but it is now an evangelical obedience. It is no longer to merit, no, but now it is out of gratitude for all that the Lord has done. And then your heart, children, wants to obey father and mother, right? It is because you love father and mother. Isn't that pleasant? Oh, that is so much more pleasant, isn't it? And then, do you say, it doesn't matter if I transgress? Oh, you do not say that. Because of love. And then it is on the other side that the Lord, He is not looking over, no. We hope to talk about that further. But the Lord is now forgiving. Forgiving in and through Him who is perfect in His righteousness. Oh, so often they are falling back. Falling back into that legal way. And then the fears of separation, the fears for that curse. But what does Paul say? When faith has come, then we are no longer under schoolmaster, no longer under the law. No, not altogether, but we are no longer under its curse. And you know what that people may do then? Then they may just thank the Lord. They may just thank the Lord. And then they may cry. They may mourn for their own sin. And then they may wait. They may wait until this body of sin. And they may long for that day when this body of sin and death will be put away. And then, oh, the beginning of that thanksgiving here below, which was experienced in those, that little moment, that moment of faith, where they could see, where they could believe, and that they may say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, then that shall continue. Then it shall increase, and then it shall be perfected, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show to us where that true thanksgiving comes from, and wilt thou give it in the heart of young and old together. O, that we might know how wretched that we are, and that we may know how great is the salvation of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Oh, dismiss us with thy blessing and forgive all that is amiss and sinful within us and what comes from us. Help us in this week. Keep us from danger, accident, evil, sin. Care for the children at school, the teachers, and all those that labor therein, and do supply for our labors in the midst of this world. we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given in these days. Crown it with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 92, stanzas 3 and 8. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In his salvation I rejoice. To him my heart will praise accord and bless his name with thankful voice. 3 and 8 of Psalter 92. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.